This is the talk of Music City Real Estate.
Welcome back to another episode of the Talk of Music City Real Estate,
where we educate and motivate all things real estate.
My name is Monty Moore with Realty One Group Music City.
Hey, and I'm Carrie Ann with CMG Financial and My Mortgage Team.
Every week we'll be posting a new episode chock full of Nashville real estate value.
Yes, and you could follow along and subscribe at talkmusiccity.com.
Got a question for us? Ask away at questions@talkmusiccity.com.
Monty.
Carrie Ann Sear.
So good to see you again.
It's good to see you. You know, one thing I'd really like clarity on, I know we haven't talked about this, but I know I'd put you on the spot for a second, but are you still number one in the universe?
I forget. You. You're so kind.
You got to be, you're right next to the number one if you're not one number
oh,
one.
Well,
where
you're
where
so
are you
kind.
At in the rankings of the world of mortgage professionals?
You know, I took some time to... live a little life last year.
I heard that.
And
I think your mom inspired you to do that.
Mom inspired me to do that, which we should all do.
We should all
find a good, healthy balance of hard work, etc. But was grateful to rank in as the number two loan officer for Family CERT. I think that's one of my passions. You know, I think with ratings and things, they follow volume, etc. Mm-hmm. I love helping anybody and everybody. So sometimes, you know, you're getting this price point to that price point. You're serving the first-time home buyer to the investor, somebody buying a luxury home. So, which is nice that I have the opportunity to do all of that and just continue to move in a forward direction. So that's what we're doing. But grateful for every opportunity. And if that
shout out
allows
to your team.
Us,
yes, a shout out to your yes. team, you know.
It's not easy. I always say it's not easy being raised by my parents. Not easy working for me. My expectations are high. I grew up in a military family, so there's systems and organization. And so, you know, we believe in never missing closing dates, always doing what's right for the consumer and also our referral partners, which I think is huge, but also staying true to our word, whether it's me or the team. And so honoring that is key, and really working hard to wow your clients is something that we specialize in and work hard to do. So grateful this week. We're closing two loans. Actually, one transaction came from your organization.
Awesome.
They were denied down the street. And so we were able to pick it up and close them in 8 days. And I think that's a big part of us knowing our guidelines and our knowledge and being super experienced in how to create solutions for folks. I think that's a win. Sometimes it's just not cookie cutter. I always say I don't work for a bank because I don't do mm-hmm. cookie cutter loans. Mm-hmm. It's all legal, but we have that out of the box thinking, right? If it makes sense, we sprinkle that common sense piece on top of everything that we do, and it really helps serve the community. And talking about what the right thing to do is, one client sadly just couldn't find a solution, and this was the perfect house for her and her family. And so us jumping in as the lender and finding a way to buy down that rate for her and make that numbers, you know, make the numbers make sense, was the right thing to do. So having those core beliefs, finding a lender that has them and you align with them, I think is always key when it comes to a business standpoint. Mm-hmm. We're grateful for that. So today, what are we talking about?
Well, before we go further, I wanted to say it's exactly that reason why I, you know, that we were in Florida last week, and my daughter-in-law was mentioning to Connie that their pastor's having, it feels like they're trying to buy a house and feel like they're being jerked around. And Connie immediately said, you got to talk to our professional, Carrie Ann. And so I did send Sean that contact information yesterday, whether it can help or not. I do love having the confidence of sending somebody, even in Florida, to you, because, not everybody's an expert on it. And I love the fact that you have classes regularly, not to become professionals, but become clear enough and in tune enough with the conversation that you can recognize when somebody is telling the truth or not, you know?
Yeah, I think
and challenge
that's really,
that and
that's
feel good about that.
Really good. It took 20 years, right? I mean, and every scenario is different, and mm-hmm. taking the time to understand the why behind why it didn't work and how can you make it work. I think mm-hmm. that's, you know, key. I do encourage everybody that listens, you know, there's many times that we're told no. I'm grateful for Meg Sear, which is my mom, that always encouraged me never to accept my first no, you know, and try to find a way to make something work if at all possible. And, you know, sometimes that's needed. And so if you have a customer that was told no, or they were denied with this particular loan. I hear this a lot. It was denied VA or it was denied THDA. And then I pause and say, well, did they send it directly to the VA and did they send it directly to the THDA? You'll find that that lender had a specific overlay or that lender didn't feel comfortable. The goal for lending is for you and I to always find the client's ability to repay that loan, right? We want to make sure that they meet the guidelines and they can show stability, right, to pay that loan. If we can do that, there's usually an opportunity. And I'm grateful for the 900 different programs that we have, that if you have an exciting buyer, you most likely have the right loan, you know, mm-hmm. for them. Mm-hmm. Self-employed, I mean, we've got profit and loss loans, a 1099 loan, bank statement loans. There's very non-conforming, unique products that fit sometimes for buyers that possibly were told no. I remember the story of one of your amazing agents, Erin, and she had a self-employed borrower moving here from California, mm-hmm. Buying a multi-million dollar home and was told no multiple times, you know, and we went and did a 12-month bank statement loan for her, for that client, and was able to get approved and closed quickly. So there's opportunity out there. And if we can make it happen, we want to do that. And sometimes I might connect you with a banker that I know can help you. It's if their client's more cost efficient. I had another lady call me today and she has 2.875 interest rate on a 15-year on her first mortgage, but they've grown out of their house. They live in New Hampshire and they've grown out of their house and they need to do some upgrades. So, you know, to do a renovation loan would require her to lose that. To do a cash out refinance would require. So we looked at four different options and we led down the direction of just doing the equity line for her so she can save her one loan. That takes me out of the ball game altogether. But it was the right thing for her and her family, and me facilitating that is what I'm going to do, gathering her documents and working through the bank to make that happen. So there's lots of opportunity if there's a way to make it happen, if I can connect you guys with people that I know would allow for more of a cost efficient out of the box type of scenario. We want to do that as well. So always good stuff.
And I think that's awesome. So I don't know if you heard or not, but our world has changed recently in the real estate world.
It's a constant discussion right now.
I am excited about it because, you know, let's I'll be real about the topic. The industry has gotten a little crowded, and there's been a few folks at least have got in for, you know, the idea that it's going to make, they're going to make a lot of money and without becoming a great value. And I'm at peace at knowing that prosperity follows value. If you want, you can control your income based on your value, and you can control your knowledge by basing yourself and immersing yourself in every opportunity that you can to learn, and being there for your client. And then that law of reciprocity kicks in, and they start sending you business. That's how I built my business. And so when I see challenges coming up in a marketplace, which I've seen all of them in the last four decades that have come through, because I haven't just been, you know, piddling with it. I've had the privilege of helping over several thousands of families during that time. And so I'm embracing this, and I encourage everybody. We've been talking to our team over the last several months about becoming mentally tough, about embracing the change. It's a good thing. And, you know, the little changes that are being made aren't going to affect those of us that are committed to helping the consumer with one of the most important times of their life, and that's buying and selling real estate. So let's talk about what the mortgage business is doing from your vantage point as far as helping us during this time of change.
Yeah, you know, I've been hearing multiple conversations. What are lenders going to do? You know, what are lenders going to do? Again, I do feel like it takes a village for all transactions to get to the closing table. So financing is a big piece of that, and making sure that all lenders, you know, level up. A direct lending institution like CMG Financial that I work with, we are direct to the agencies, right? So you have Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, VA, FHA, USDA, which is Ginnie Mae. So we've reached out to try to get some guidance. You probably heard a couple weeks ago that FHA referenced some things and just kind of acknowledged the lawsuit. So there's at least a step in the right direction with somebody's talking about it. But, you know, they went on to say this, you know, if sellers continue to pay buyer side real estate agent commissions and fees as a manner of state and local law or custom, and if the commissions and fees are reasonable in an amount, existing policy would not treat those payments as Yeah, interested party contributions provided all other requirements are met. So basically they're saying that the seller concessions on an FHA loan are 6% plus title. And so that will remain. And then the seller can contribute if they it's negotiated, et cetera, for the commission. So in my mind, it's basically just stating very clearly what it already is to be true again. Fannie Mae came out. We talked about that last week. And they talked about right now there are just no specific guidance from us yet other than that we're aware of the recent announcement. And we're going to basically just follow along and see what's going to happen and then see if we'll make any changes. I think a big discussion right now is what do we do to serve our veteran community? Those that are active military that can use their VA benefit. Again, the VA was created to protect the veteran, right? There's certain fees that are not allowable for them to pay. We've kind of navigated through that. And one of those non-allowables is commission. And so how does one handle that moving in a forward direction? Again, we have lots of discussions about commissions are still negotiable. You know, they can still ask the seller to pay the commissions. What if they find the most amazing house for them and the seller is not paying that commission? What does that veteran do now? Sadly, there's, you know, do they, what do they do? Well, we're working on a program right now called Lenders Helping Veterans, where we're able to contribute part of that commission. And maybe that piece is negotiated, the other half of it and or some of it is still negotiated. Maybe the sellers be willing to do something, just not all type of thing. So the lender is able to pay the commission, but not the veteran at this time. So again, will that be different tomorrow? Possibly. Currently, there's no change in the near future on that particular thing, but we are able to contribute. So let me talk about what sellers are able to do when we talk about the VA loan. If you're not familiar, on a VA loan, the seller's able to pay 4% in concessions, and that 4% can include veterans' debts. So if for some reason on trying to be creative on getting a client to prove and you need the residual in line, paying off a debt possibly would get you there, that's up to 4%. They also can pay 2% of discount points. So a total of 6% if 2% of that includes buying down the interest rate and then also title, right? And so that is currently what the seller is able to do on a VA loan.
So let's pause there for a second, because I think VA is what's big in a lot of people's hearts who are good about helping veterans.
Yeah.
Which we all need to be. So if somebody let's break down that 4% and 2%. 2% towards buy down or discount points.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that other 4% could go to part of it could go to closing costs and part of it could be going to paying off a car or something like that.
Correct. A debt.
Mm-hmm. So that 4% can be utilized in multiple fashions.
Yeah, correct.
That's what I wasn't clear on.
It cannot be used currently. It cannot be in the commissions cannot be in the buyer's side. Mm-hmm. So the commissions can be in the lender's side of the column, right? Mm-hmm. So you would have to talk. Now, I'm not saying that all lenders are going to do that. So you do need to work through that with your lending firm that you work with and or you can work with us. Right now, we have our Veteran Appreciation Program where we waive all lender fees to show our respect and thank for their service. So that would also discount some of that. So again, to lessen the cost is what we want to do to maybe make it a win for the seller to help contribute some of the commissions. Even though you have a veteran who's willing and able and wants to pay for their own commissions, they're not currently able to,
right?
Because the commissions are put on the settlement statement, you know, or the CD, right? Mm-hmm. So at the moment, so that's the situation right now in regard to VA.
Sorry, I don't want to go down too far in this rabbit hole, but so what if the contract was written so that the buyer's agent said, never mind. We don't know these answers yet. So until we know those answers, right, then I'll ask the question.
Exactly. You know, on an FHA loan, again, FHA was brought to us, you know, in the Great Depression to kind of assist in affordability, right? Mm-hmm. So 3.5% down, you know, very low credit scores allowed, ratios are higher, all the things are there. They do allow for 6% plus title, right? Again, talking about fees are different per each lender. you know, costs associated with the commission per each real estate agent is negotiable, all the things. You customarily, your closing cost across the board in Middle Tennessee is going to be around 3 to 4.25%, depending on, you know, where you lie there, right? So 6% does give some freedom to, instead of asking for commissions, possibly you just ask for a straight seller concession right across the board. That could be a charge. The commission can be charged on the buyer side on an FHA loan. So that could cover that, because again, commissions is just a closing cost in that particular line. FHA, a seller can pay up to 6% plus title. When we get into your conventional loans, it's a little different. People that put less than 3% down, the seller's only able to pay less than 10% down, seller's only able to pay 3% plus title. So 3% plus title. If the buyer's putting 10 to 25% down, that moves up to 6% plus title. And then if they put more than 25% down, 9% plus title. So again, when you're writing out your contracts, you know what your LTV is. That'll kind of share with you exactly what the seller concessions can be capped at. Now that's on a primary home. If you are someone who sells investment homes and they are using a Fannie or Freddie product, the seller concessions is maxed at 2% plus title. So you can be an amazing real estate agent and negotiate all these perks and concessions and all the things, and then we have to bring them back to a cap at 2% plus title. So that's something to know as well. And then if you're working with a USDA, again, USDA is an eligible property, that's going to be 6% plus title. So that is just giving you a little insight, and you've probably seen some cheat sheets out there, but that allows you to start to possibly think a little different, right? When you're kind of negotiating, if a particular home is not offering commissions, do I feel like, you know, we're talking about the 80-20 rule. I'm a big believer in that. 20% of the sellers are going to follow suit, possibly, but 80%, right? Is most likely going to look at the possible benefits of offering a commission, right, mm-hmm. to a buyer's agent. So hopefully this is not going to be one that you have to take out your cheat sheet on a regular basis, but you're amazing at negotiating, you know, concessions right now for your buyer. You'll be amazing at negotiating your commission for the buyer as well. So, you know, things to do, I think you and I talk about changing the narrative. You know, you talk about being four decades in, you know, I've been doing this couple decades, I guess, to say at that point, even within my 20 years.
It's a long time
when
you start measuring in decades. You know?
Yeah. But when you, even in the 20 years that I've been in this business, to think that we used to have to run underwriting files to FedEx every night to get them shipped off to an underwriter. Now mm-hmm. we just hit a button, right? Mm-hmm. We used to use TMO. Everything was green and big and the like boxed computers, you know, mm-hmm. just kind of the old school, right? Underwriting was in red pens. There's no pens. There's no paper anymore. Everything has changed, right? Mm-hmm. But the narrative back in the day was you first get approved for a home loan, right? And you go through that process and then the letter is achieved. And then with that letter, it's handed off to the real estate agent. And then you start shopping, right? Over the course of time, that has changed where real estate goes so fast and people are delayed in the thought of even getting a home loan, right? Maybe they don't want their credit dinged. They've listen to the media. I mean, all the things, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so now we're finding more contracts written before they even apply, right, for a home loan. So I think changing the narrative, creating systems that would really make you a true professional out there, where you're complimenting all folks associated with the home loan process, right? I love one of the scripts. Would you be paying cash for this home, or would you need mm-hmm. to look into financing options? Mm-hmm. If you're scripting that at the beginning, you right then know that if they're asking for financing options, well, let's go through that, right? Let's navigate through the best strategies to really allow our negotiation to be powerful. So in our talks now, most likely we're going to talk about the three pillars, one being commissions, one being down payment, and the other being closing cost, right? And this is going to look, you're going to tell me what commissions are and this and this and this. So maybe your LTV changes, your loan to value changes. Maybe you don't put as much money down because you want to have the extra money to be able to do that. What does that payment look like compared to this payment, right? So as you start searching for homes, you can make a really wise decision, right? Your buyer can make a wise decision on their behalf and you can help give them all the options and they know what their payment's going to be. At the end of the day, we've talked many times where you know, the buyer technically pays for all of it if it's all rolled into the price of the home. You and I take certain purchase price sometimes and we roll in closing costs. We roll in this, right? We were rolling in a buy down. We were doing different things to create affordability and give that buyer an opportunity to become a homeowner, right? Mm-hmm. Because they don't have this or that mm-hmm. currently. I will tell you, being a loan officer, when we take an application and we get to the assets section, it gets a little tiptoey. You know, we kind of have to tiptoe around. We say, do you have a checking and savings account? Is that checking for money in, money out? Most likely they say yes for bills, right? So they're just, it's usually a very minimal balance, right? Within that, how much do you have in savings? It's a minimal number, right? And we're navigating through that and creating opportunity for you to find them homeownership, right? And we're able to achieve that on the regular basis. So we're working through now things that just have to allow us to think differently and work really hard to come up with solutions. So the narrative, I think, is key, changing that on the upfront. Using programs that prepare people for tomorrow, I think, is key. Home Funded is a program I know you're a big fan of. That's a crowdfunding product. It gets your buyer today preparing for tomorrow, right? You want to set everybody up for success, being the CEO of your own business and a true professional. That's what you and I want to do. We want to set them up for success. Even though I don't need reserves to buy a home, I do think it's important that you and I have a few months of reserves, right? Because when buying a home, it does get concerning, right? Meaning there's bills that come up. There's this that needs to be purchased, et cetera, et cetera. So setting people up for success just levels you up within your own business. So I know he's doing right. So right now we're talking about creating some programs. I'm excited to roll out Lenders Helping Sellers, where we're maybe contributing some money, teaming up with listing agents and sellers to find ways that they can feel a win and then the buyers can feel a win. We talked about this the other day where, you know, a buyer wants the best deal and a seller wants the most money, right? How do we make them both feel like they're winning in this narrative? So I think that's the key there is, you know, teaming up and kind of creating new. I think that's key. The other thing is not to slow down. I will tell you that anytime when times so-called get overwhelming or people throw things in the midst of chaos, you know, and it's like the decision of another is not going to change the outcome of my success, period. The decision of another is not going to change the outcome of my success. So the decision of this NAR settlement can't change how successful I am. I have to pivot. I have to keep thinking. I have to do that.
If we make that decision, otherwise, it's going to.
Yeah, exactly.
It's up to us. You know,
right. Are we interested or are we committed, right? Mm-hmm. It kind of goes back to that. I was at a Tom Ferry event and they wrote up there, are you interested or are you committed? I was like, yes, this is totally, you're speaking my language. Because you have one toe in or the full foot in, right? Mm-hmm. I do think that's going to, the people that are excited for this change are similar to myself because it's some of the loan officers are not going to be able, they weren't able last year to navigate through a rise in interest rates. Why? Because they were focused on refinances. They were never a purchase-centric lender to begin with, right? They did not know how to build relationships with a real estate community, bring value, help you level your business up to the next level, different things like that. I think we went from 160,000 loan officers to 80,000. I mean, there was quite a few.
It's anticipated to do the same thing with the real estate community.
And so, you know, there are, yes, you can connect with all vendors. You know, we talk about partnerships with purpose. It doesn't even just need to be with a lender. You know, you can, you want to build strong partnerships like one that you and I have and with all different types of vendors to be able to provide even more value. With that more value, as you present your buyer's rep agreement and talk through your worth and all the things and your unique value proposition, that right there is just going to make me sign on the dotted line immediately. Yes, sign me up. I want all of that. And I'll pay for all of that, right? And or I see that you're going to work really hard for me. You're going to find me my dream home. You're going to listen to me, right? I just think it's going to change. And I'm hopeful that it'll all be a change for the better. I remember I was so devastated when we had to, what was it called? The settlement statement was thrown out the window and it was a CD, right? And the CD had to be signed 3 days business days prior, I thought the world was coming to an end. I mean, we did rest in peace signs of all of it, all the things. And I closed loans today in 8 days. We're still needing a document signed 3 full business days prior.
Wow.
You change happens and you create ways and systems around still making it a win, not only for your buyers, right? Because again, they can not have to close in 8 days if they don't want to, but that helps them continue with their negotiation power and make it still a win. So there's lots. The other thing that I'm excited for you guys about is this is not happening, I think, until July.
Right.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. So going back to the story we talked about on the huddle call, you know, I was the first company. I was in my 20s.
I was hoping you'd share
this. I was working for a company called CTX Mortgage. Mm-hmm. They were so kind to give me my first opportunity.
I
knew nothing.
That.
Yeah. But they were backed by a builder and we went under. And so we were, I felt like the first, I thought it was the most devastating thing ever. And it was the first company to go under. They gave us a severance, right? Which felt really nice. They had 90 days to find a solution and a new plan. And we went out and did that. I opened my first small little mortgage branch with another company that had no name here in Middle Tennessee. And who knew that the entire world would crash right after that. And my doors were open when everybody else's doors started closing. And that's how I started my first branch in the lending world. And so
I hope everybody's listening to this story. You know, she's one of the top in the country now. And she got involved at a time that was probably a little scarier than that, this right now.
Right. You know? Yeah, for sure. And prepare yourself. Like, look at this as an opportunity mm-hmm. to get yourself educated, right, on all the things, scripting, presentations, you know, it's one that if committed and if you really want it, you can have it. There's so many people that are still going to be purchasing real estate. I'm excited about that, you know, and with the interest rates eventually coming down, we don't know when that's going to be. We should totally talk to another economist that tells us it's going to happen here soon. I've been hearing that for the last bit, but you know, but
sure,
when
so
it does,
that's not out of what I, when I got involved, when it was 16%.
Yeah. You know, and, but you know, I think it goes down to affordability, right? Mm-hmm. I remember I always said my mortgage payment cannot be any more than $1,500. Right. And that was the cap of in my brain. And so sometimes we still have that in conversations with buyers, right? Mm-hmm. So how do we create that affordability? How do we use all the tools still to this day, and kind of navigate through all of that? But what you've been two decades in. I'm not stopping. Are you?
Nope.
No.
Nope. I don't know what I would do with myself.
Yeah, we're going to definitely be the bison in charge.
I'm going to be around to see the victories again for our agents that are embracing the suck at the moment and determined to become a value and determined to impress upon their clients and friends that they're a much needed advocate and not just that unnecessary expense that some entities are trying to push us in the corner as being. So I'm dedicated to this process. And I shared with our agents yesterday on the huddle call, I've got your hand. We're going to walk through this. It may be bumpy along the way. That's okay. It's all right. You know, life is bumpy along the way, but when we press on through and get to that next change, there's going to be a massive amount of business there for those of us who have earned the strength, earned the right, earn that momentum to move forward. I'm convinced of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're going to be better tomorrow. Always. I always believe that. Mm-hmm. And I believe that to be even to today. You know, so many years ago, actually almost 11 years ago, right now, you know, I lost my job and I thought it was the worst thing ever. Mm-hmm. And I said, what do I do now? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And that gave me so much fire in my belly to soar to mm-hmm. another level. What I'm saying is stuff gets thrown at us. Right. And this is our opportunity. If we really want it, we can go and soar. Middle Tennessee is always going to be a booming market. We're really blessed to be here. And so this is a place where you can carve out your best career, right? This can still be in the next so many years, mm-hmm. you know, an amazing, amazing career for you within real estate. So I know we're all rooting everybody on, and I'm a believer in the success that everybody's going to have. So good things to come.
Carrie Ann, I prove on a regular basis with our family here at Realty One Group Music City that I am not the sharpest rock in the pile. And if a guy like me, who has high school education, former power truck driver at Caterpillar Tractor Company,
right,
can make, you know, help thousands of people over the years. My belief is, again, I'm a simple guy. My belief is it can happen for anyone that chooses to be intentional and pursue the opportunity to love and serve people in one of the most wonderful occupations on the planet.
It really is. Yeah. It's awesome. Grateful to be in business with you. And we're grateful that all of you are listening to us and can't wait to have you come back. Thank you so much. You've been listening to The Talk of Music City Real Estate.